I'd like to take a moment of personal and pastoral privilege in advance of my message this morning to thank each of you who have supported my family during the week, who have reached out to us on the passing of my father-in-law, Clifton Frelo. I know on behalf of my mother-in-law, Dottie, and Renee, and all of us, we are truly blessed to have such a great family of faith at Good Shepherd. We thank you. Something else I had not planned to speak on this morning, but I will put it out there, is I will ask you to remember in prayer this day and as we go forward into the week, those Christians who are persecuted. When I woke up this morning and checked my phone, the very first thing I saw as a news headline was that in a little place that most of us probably for $1 million couldn't find on a map, a little place called Sri Lanka, over 130 Christians had been martyred this morning while attending Christian Mass on this Easter Sunday morning. By the time I got into the shower, that headline had changed to 160. And before the start of this service, when I checked again, the death toll was above 200. This is at multiple churches in Sri Lanka. So we remember our brothers and sisters who were doing just what we're doing this morning, coming to church to worship our Lord on this beautiful Resurrection Sunday. So I ask you to remember them today and in your own prayer time as we go forward into this Easter week as well. Yesterday I was on social media and I was looking around and there was I don't know if argument is a strong enough word or too strong of a word, but you know how Facebook can be. People can type in all caps and it's like they're screaming and such. And what was funny about this, funny to me anyway, was this was a bunch of ministers fighting with each other. And those are funny if you ever have a chance to read those. So-called theologians. And here's what they were arguing about. Should we call this day Easter or should we call it Resurrection Sunday? And I thought, oh, good Lord, of all the problems the Christian church, all the problems the Christian church has across the globe, in America, we're going to fight over whether it should be called Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And the point of the folks who are the anti-Easter crowd is they say, well, that has its roots in paganism, you know. And so a more accurate biblical description is to call it Resurrection Sunday. And one of my favorite old ministers, he's a retired Southern Baptist, Dr. Joe McKeever, he came in and he said, you know him, don't you? You got to love him and his wit. And he came in and he says, I don't care if you call it Bob. What you call it isn't important. What's important is the message of Easter. And to that I say, amen, Brother Joe. You got it right, brother. Absolutely. And that's really what this is about. It's the message of Easter. And we heard today in that gospel account, the message of Easter. And you think about it, those ladies arrived at that tomb, and the last thing that they were expecting to see at that tomb was that the stone had been rolled away. The stone had been rolled away. Now you got to remember, that stone was huge, and that thing was put there on purpose because those in charge, the Romans, they wanted to make sure that nobody could steal the body of Jesus. Because that would have just been scandalous. And they guarded that tomb. So when the ladies get there and they find that tomb rolled away, something big is about to happen. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is the tomb rolled away? For me, as I thought about it, the first thing that came to mind was, well, duh, that's how Jesus gets out. You got to move the stone for Jesus to walk out. Well, but if we truly believe Jesus is fully man and fully God, the stone isn't going to be the problem for him getting out. We got to get through this whole resurrection thing first, right? And so it got me to thinking, the purpose of the stone rolling away wasn't to get Jesus out of the tomb. The purpose of the stone being rolled away was to get the disciples in the tomb. And if you notice in the gospel reading today, and it's actually even emphasized and better articulated in some of the other gospel accounts, the disciples go running to the tomb. The ladies, they see it, they're amazed. They're told by the angel, go back and tell the 11. Well, that's interesting, right? 11, wait, we're used to hearing about the 12. But you got to remember something about resurrection morning. There's only 11 apostles. Judas Iscariot has committed suicide. He has betrayed our Lord, and he has taken his own life. So there's only 11. The angel knows this. The angel tells the ladies, hey, go back and tell the 11 and the other disciples what you have seen. And so those boys, they get full speed. Now, who runs to a tomb? Have you ever run to a tomb? Have you ever run into a tomb? Probably not something that's high on your priority list unless you know this. The very thing that was prophesied that Jesus Christ was going to do, he has done. Unless you understand this, the very thing that Jesus Christ said he would do, he has done. And that's why they're running to that tomb this morning. Why? Do they want to get in there and grab some evidence? No, because that's kind of counterintuitive anyway. In a situation like that, you're thinking, well, what would the evidence be that Jesus Christ is crucified? You don't need the body. You saw that with your own two eyes. Everybody, whether they like Jesus or not, witnessed that. They know about the crucifixion of Christ. What's the evidence? The evidence is the empty tomb. You think about that for a moment. That's actually the good news of Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday, or if you want to call it Bob. That's the good news. That tomb is empty. And that means that Jesus has done everything he said he would do. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. He has overcome the grave. And he has risen on the third day. Praise God, or as we can now say since we're out of Lent, hallelujah. Say it with me, hallelujah. Now, the scriptures paint quite a picture. It's a very vivid picture, right? These women running to the grave, the women going back to the grave, telling the disciples about this. But what's interesting, and we don't hear it today in Luke's account, in one of the other gospel accounts, and if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Mark's account, the angel says something really unique to those ladies. The angel says, go and tell the disciples and Peter. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. Now, what's so interesting about that? Peter. We just talked about there's only 11. Judas is out of the picture. Peter, if you were with us on Good Friday, you heard the story of the journey to the cross. And that story included the reality that Peter, not once, Peter, not twice, Peter, no less than three times, denied the Lord Jesus. And in fact, it was prophesied that he would do so before the rooster crowed. And if you heard that story on Good Friday, you read it in your Bible, little girl says, hey, you, I know you. You're with that guy, Jesus. He says, nope, not me. Denial. Guy comes up to him and says, hey, aren't you one of those disciples of that Jesus guy? No. Peter says, I've got nothing to do with him. Number two, third time, aren't you with Jesus, the one who's supposed to be the king of the Jews? Peter says, no, you got the wrong guy. And next thing you know, what do you hear? Cock-a-doodle-doo. The rooster has crowed. Peter has denied the Lord. The resurrection is a story of forgiveness. The angel of the Lord tells those ladies, go, tell the disciples what you've seen, and tell Peter. Peter is brought back into the fold. Peter is forgiven. And that's something that we need to make sure that we're focused on this day, this Easter Sunday, into the season of Easter, which I will remind you, despite the fact that Walmart will be putting Easter candy on sale today at noon for half price, and tomorrow it'll be 75% off, Easter's not over. Easter, in fact, is 50 days. That's a wonderful thing to think about as we celebrate. We just went through 40 days of Lent. Easter gives you 10 more days than Lent. So we have this entire season of Easter. But here's what I want you to really know about that. I want you to focus not only for the next 50 days, but forever on the reality of the empty tomb. On the reality that, like Peter, the angel of the Lord is saying, tell those disciples and Rinda, tell those disciples and John, tell those disciples and the choir, tell those disciples and everybody at that 10 a.m. worship service at Good Shepherd Church in Metairie, Louisiana, what you've seen. Because what they saw is absolutely mind-blowing. An empty tomb, a stone rolled away, a risen Lord and Savior, a man named Jesus Christ, who did everything that was prophesied that he would do, who did everything he said he would do. He is not here. He is risen. You can look at every other religion or so-called religion on the face of the planet. Muhammad is dead. Gandhi is dead. You just go down the list. My brothers and sisters, God is alive. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, is alive. He is risen. And the good news in that is you can be an heir of that same promise of resurrection life. You can have a life of eternity with God in heaven through Jesus Christ. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, first of all, you need to understand this reality. And this is something that often boggles the mind, because the world likes to, the sort of so-called spiritual world likes to conceive of this thing we call existence as the fact that we're just some kind of a biological body that has a spirit or a soul. And if it's truly, really out there secularism, they're going to say, you're just some kind of accidental biological entity. There's no spirit, there's no soul. But even on that, you're just a body with a spirit. That's wrong. You need to understand, children of God, you are a spirit. And you just happen to have a body right now. It's temporary. It is not permanent. St. Paul in the epistles calls it a temporary earthly tent. St. Randall of Metairie calls it a bag of bones. Y'all know him, right? You could laugh at that one. And that's all we are. The temporary, the bag of bones. You are a spiritual being for eternity. And you, through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, who would go and shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins on the Mount of Calvary, you have the opportunity to receive the good news of the empty tomb, to receive the good news of the resurrected Lord, to receive the good news of life eternal with God Almighty. And my brothers and sisters, that's the message of Easter. We look at it sometimes just this simplistically. We live, we die. But I want to encourage you to think of it like this. Jesus died. Jesus is alive. And that's a promise he gives you. You place your faith and your trust in him to be your Lord and your Savior. It's the good news of the gospel, of the message of Easter, and I pray that you receive it in the blessed name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If you do, let me hear you say, Amen. Amen. My brothers and sisters, let's rise this morning. Let us profess our faith as it's handed to us in the Nicene Creed. You will find it printed on page 4 of your bulletin.